You can't think that way when you got a ball game that you got to win. He was in a joyous mood. Joyous. Three giveaways, Baker? That's not winning football most of the time.
The trade-in value of your vehicle will never be higher than it is today. BillCurryFord.com wants your trade. More important, they've got fantastic year-end offers and still more to come. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, family-owned, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They present all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com.
You've got the internet, so get there. BillCurryFord.com.
Bill Curry Ford GM Sean Sullivan has your Ira Kaufman discount waiting for you. Reach out to him. And he's also got $100 on top of any advertised price that he can match. So if you find an advertised price, bring it to Sean. He'll beat it by $100. BillCurryFord.com. They've got incredible service, 100 loaner vehicles. They will do work at your house. They'll pick up your vehicle. They'll do everything they can. It's an amazing service system that they have there, not just a service department, a service system. BillCurryFord.com. They've got their gold certified body shop, used vehicles. Check them out. BillCurryFord.com.
I don't want to read too much into it. The body language, you know, seems a little dispirited.
And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Look, you have to be prepared. You can't go it alone when you have a disaster at your property, flood, maybe water under your sink that's been there for 3 days, or mold you find in the garage, or all kinds of things, maybe during construction. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you 24/7. Call them. You'll get a free evaluation at your property of that leak, of that flood under the broken pipe, under the floor, and all the damage that it's causing, whatever it is. Home, business, call them.
I love Josh and his people. They really know what they're doing. Stick with them.
When you call, mention Ira Kaufman or JoeBucksFan.com, and you will get $500 back if you need their services and sign on to have them do your work. And they're a one-stop shop. They can do everything from start to finish, whatever it is to restore your property. They're across the Tampa Bay area and beyond, across the state, going east toward Orlando. Florida's Elite Restoration. They're Bucks fans, family-owned. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Sage Ira is here. We are at the Lighthouse. The Buccaneers are alone in first place. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And Ira, we are in ecstasy. The Bucks alone in first place. Todd Bowles did it. He pulled it off. He went from the stink to the penthouse. And
run that Bowles poll right now, Stevie. Run it. Run it.
a wacky game. They slammed the door, and we are so excited that they're in this situation now, because this is what we want, right? Things happen in every season, but you got to put yourself in position. They've done that now, Ira, but lots to talk about out of this game, Mo. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, the first thing I want to say is finally, Lee, finally, one of my predictions comes to fruition. I said by Sunday night, the Bucs will be in first place by themselves in the NFC South. Now, Lee, at times today, it looked a little dicey. Atlanta was hanging with Minnesota, and the Bucs offense was going nowhere after the first quarter. Nowhere. What I like the most about this game, 28-13 Bucs, Lee, is the way they won the game. What I mean by that is the defense. The defense rose to the occasion, I believe. Now, they got an early cushion. That always helps. But I chronicled what the Buck offense did after the first quarter, Lee. It was like three giveaways and three punts. That's the following six possessions till they finally, you know, straighten things out at the end. During that whole period, the Raiders were getting short fields. The Raiders were getting extra opportunities, extra snaps. And I thought the Buck defense played very well. An embattled unit played well. It was a good day for the rookies, too, Lee. Jalen McMillan, Tyke Smith. Key roles today. I'm not looking for style points. I'm looking for wins, and we just got one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for a while there the Bucks were going to find a way to lose instead of finding a way to win. But they found a way to win in the long run.
Maybe earlier in the season they lose a game like this. Like,
yeah, that's true. And maybe. Bowles has talked about that. By the way, we're, how shall we say, inspired by sitting in the Gene Dekaroff booth.
We're in the Dekaroff den. That's where we are.
The Dekaroff den, Bucks broadcast booth. this safety situation is getting ugly, Ira. You know, I know you and I talked to Nick Rapone, the safeties coach, and he talked about Winfield, and he looks like he's close to wit's end.
They're running out of bodies, Steve. They're running out of bodies.
They're out of bodies. They went out and got Ryan Neal, who I think 90% of Bucks fans couldn't wait to run out of town. He was so terrible last year. But that's what they're down to, is signing guys, terrible guys, because they don't have anybody else.
All right, we got to hit the money question to Lee here. Are you soothed, Lee? Have you come out of it?
You were in a funk after the Panthers
game.
Well,
bye week, they pulled off the 3 in a row. We thought they could do it. Lee's like, I got to see it. Have you seen it yet? Are you a believer?
I've seen it. I don't know if I'm a believer yet. They haven't played a full game in a long while. And guess what, guys? Outside of the Chargers, when's the next time they're going to play a good team? Playoffs. And they don't have a full game, a complete game. They're going to get, you know,
let's
be
not
like
get that. Ahead of ourselves, Lee. First, they got to get in the playoffs. It's not a given.
You're mocking me for being negative. Now you're talking about no playoffs. I'm a believer in that they're in the playoff race. Let's just say that. I'm a believer they're thick in the playoff chase.
Seems like the bye week came at the right time, Lee. It seems
it does. It does seem that way. And I'm a believer that the Bucks can win the division if they only lose one game. And that may come this week. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're here to talk about the Raiders game. And you know what? The Raiders channeled Al Davis. What was Al Davis famous for saying, among other things?
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. And that's what the Bucks did. It was ugly. Mayfield threw three picks.
Two.
Oh, two. I thought you had three.
They
okay.
had a fumble.
Okay. Yeah, he had a fumble. They got through that and they won. Just win, baby. That's, you know, poor Al Davis. You've spoken to Al Davis.
I have.
Would he be pulling his greasy hair out right now? His team losing 8 in a row?
You know,
and
you know
like
what would be killing Al Davis even with the win? Let's throw the ball deep. We don't throw the ball deep. They didn't do it again today.
I heard that Davis couldn't stand the Glazers.
Well, he thinks he skunked them on the John Gruden thing. I don't think you could say that because they got a Vince Lombardi trophy out of it. But I don't think he had any love lost for the Buck organization at all. And you know what part of that could be? Ron Wolf, who was the original director of football operations and drafted Leroy Selman, and he only lasted 2 years here and got into it with Culverhouse and John McKay, and then he went to the back to the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And anybody who can last with Al Davis for 20 years, that guy knows his stuff.
Oh, he's a saint.
And he probably trashed the Buck organization when he came back to Oakland, and that could be part of the reason that Davis looked down at the Glazer boys.
So, Ira, are you okay with Lee's explanation that he's not there yet, but he's pleased? What do you feel about that?
Well, I'd say this. If the Bucks win 3 of their last 4, I think they're going to win this division because that would mean that would mean the Falcons got to close out with 4 straight wins.
Yeah.
I don't think they can do it, Steve. I don't think they can do it. Will the Bucks win in Los Angeles? Probably not.
That's next week. What about now? How should Bucks fans feel?
I like the way the defense
played.
All right,
so you're liking the defense. What about?
I think Merriweather, he was very active today. I noticed him a lot.
How impressed are you, Ira? I know I am. We'll see what Lee thinks. But Bucky Irving goes down. Electric running back, top 5 in the NFL this year. He goes down.
They still run for a $1.50.
They still run for a $1.50. The Raiders came in as the 9th best run defense in the league. And the Bucks, when they needed to close the game out, here come the handoffs, and they're mowing the ball down.
Rashad White played well today. He played well. And a big 34-yard run from Tucker certainly didn't hurt. A couple of things are bothering me, Steve. A couple of things. One, I didn't like the pass protection. All game, I didn't like it. And it wasn't from Max Crosby, who was handled very well by Wirfs and Gedeky, because I was the first one in the locker room to Wirfs, and I got him by myself for about 10 minutes. And I go, how was your battle with Crosby? He goes, well, he went around to Gedeky's side quite a few times too, but I think I held my own, and he did. But the inside pressure, I thought was lousy against Mayfield. Contributed to some of the picks. Now, getting to Mayfield.
Bredesen got smacked around quite a bit.
Yeah, and the other part that's bothering me is ball security with Mayfield. I don't like what's going on, Lee. Three giveaways, Baker? That's not winning football most of the time.
One of them was a tip, to be fair. One of them was a tip.
He's starting to get a lot of tips, Steve. He's getting balls knocked down.
He's had those all year long, hadn't he?
He's getting balls knocked down.
I mean, he's had them in his career, shorter guy, whatever.
I mean, yeah, he's not 6'4". I understand that.
We're right after the game. I didn't see the tip, but I got to look at that one. But
now I'm worried about Irving in the next month, Steve. I'm worried. Back problem.
I'm going to throw something wacky out there, Ira, with Irving. I'm going to say that maybe this back injury that – now, he was warming up on the sidelines in the second half. The announcers on TV, which I was listening to with the game, were saying he looks like he's – you know, chomping at the bit to go back in. He's riding the bike. He's got his helmet on. He's pacing. They told him to cool it. But I'm almost going to say, Ira, that I think in some ways what happened to Irving today with the back injury early might be better for him long run, because he, look how much punishment he avoided. For he ran four times.
Well,
and
that's one way to look at it.
Caught one
Steve.
Ball. I mean, his hip, that probably took a save.
I don't
beating.
See it that way, Lee. I think a back injury is problematic for a running back, and I think they're going to need Irving's juice down the stretch. And the way the offense was cratering after the first quarter,
oh.
I think if they felt that Irving was good enough to go back in, I think they would have put him back in, and they didn't do that.
Interesting. Has Graham Barton hit a rookie wall?
It appears so.
Because the last couple games, he's not been that good.
I didn't like the inside pass blocking. I love the run blocking, Steve. You can't knock the run blocking, Lee. Even your man Rashad White had some nice holes to run.
I know. I wrote about it. Did you think they passed too much?
Yeah, I think they went away from the run when they didn't have to. I do.
Were they trying to save wear and tear on Rashad White?
You can't think that way when you got a ball game that you got to win, and you're letting the team hang around. Look, hang around.
Mayfield's turnovers have become a problem. He's got 13 picks this year.
11 in the last 8 games.
He's got, against 28 touchdowns, he's becoming like Jameis Winston because he's making huge plays. He's putting up big numbers. He's, throwing a strike, absolute strike to Mike Evans on that third down catch.
But then he's making some wacky decisions.
And he's got to settle down. Obviously, he's got balance, right? Jameis didn't always have balance. He's got a running game. He should calm down a little bit. He's going wild. He's throwing some balls where he
can't step up in the pocket.
Yes.
But he's tossing them up anyway.
And that's killing him.
Yeah, that hurts.
All right, so I have to reveal something to our listeners, Ira, and all our fans over at Bill Curry Ford and at Florida's Elite Restoration Headquarters. Sage, after the game, I have a film of this.
Yes, you do.
You, most of the sports writers that leave the locker room, go upstairs, grab some chicken, and just start working.
I hung around.
Ira is spotted at Todd Bowles' car.
Yeah.
Where he gets past the police escort.
Yeah, I hijacked Bowles.
Stands in front of Bowles' front door to open the vehicle and, gives him, greets him and has a chat with Bowles.
Here comes
Bowles' wife. Why is she hugging Ira? I don't understand this.
Well,
but
she respects the sage.
You had a lot of chatter with Bowles. This was not just a hello,
I'll give you a nugget from the conversation.
How do you think he feels about these turnovers? Because as Lee says, this Todd Bowles is obsessed with takeaways in all directions.
He's concerned. He is concerned. But the one line from Bowles that stuck with me after the game, because I brought the guy's name up, and I said, boy, Tyke Smith makes a difference. He goes, huge difference.
Wow.
In terms of what he wants to do, in terms of his defensive scheme and who he trusts, and we can do this when Tyke Smith's in, and we're going to struggle to do that particular scheme if Tyke Smith's not available. For Bowles, Tyke Smith's a key component of this defense. That says a lot about a rookie.
Can you reveal...
No.
Todd Bowles is not the only big shot that you spoke with after the game. Can you reveal who the other person was that you spoke with briefly?
I just had a very brief conversation with Joel Glazer as he was driving his...
Well, it's not like many media people get the chance.
I understand. Okay. And he was wondering whether, I was going to write a negative column about the Bucks, and I assured him I would not, and Steve just read it, and it was not a negative column. But he was in a joyous mood. Joyous.
Really?
Yeah. 7-6 atop the division. And I might as well give Lee the lead to my column because he hasn't seen it. And I'm the only one who saw it, Lee, because you were going down at that point. Did you go to Bowles' press conference?
No, I was in the locker room.
Oh, you were in the locker room. Well, I saw Yaya Diaby going into the locker room. And as he reached for the door, he turned around and looked at whoever was around and said, first place, baby, first place. And then the Glazers were in there waiting to greet him. But they're very, very aware of what's going on in those standings,
so,
as you can imagine.
So, Sage, Tyke Smith, if you watch the replay of that interception.
He shadowed the guy
very
beautifully.
Very instinctive, very sharp. I mean, just.
That's jumping a route, right?
I mean, just a sharp interception, not some of these lollipops that were floated out there. Kayvon Merriweather had a good game. Ironically, the Lions put him on their practice squad after the Bucks cut him, the mighty Lions. The Bucks pull him back. And he plays like he's a new player. Maybe he got a little Dan Campbell in him or something. I don't know. But
good. You know who had a lot of fun today? Lavonne David.
Yeah.
Lavonne David bounced back with a very solid game today, Lee.
I talked to him after in the locker room after the game.
You know, he's running around like a 25-year-old, Steve. I love his attitude.
You know, he's fired up. I asked him, we watched you on video last year on that NFL Films thing, tell Teddy Bridgewater, after the Lions game, Bridgewater was the backup for the Lions quarterback, tell him, hey, I think I might be done. You know, I think I might be done. And he came back, and I asked him, how do you feel versus where you were last year? You knew where you were mid-December last year. And he pretty much said he feels great. He feels really healthy, fired up. Obviously, I'm talking to him right after a big win. You know,
who seems a little down?
You know, we know, Ira, that the organization wants him back with open arms.
Yeah, there's no question.
They respect the hell out of him.
You can expect Lavonnie David to be a Buccaneer in 2025, I think. If he wants to play.
That was the question I was going to ask. Does he want to come back?
Lee, tell me what you think. I don't want to read too much into it. The body language, seems a little dispirited. Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I think he's thinking about the streak a little.
Well, late. That, and I don't think he's healthy. He didn't look like he was healthy today. Yeah, sure, he made a couple plays, but he also was on the sidelines for a lot of plays.
There was many years, Steve, when you'd never see Mike Evans on the sideline. Very, very seldom during the game, and now you see it quite a bit.
And he left that locker
room. I don't think he's 100%.
And he left that locker room real quick. That's unusual for him.
You think he's a little peeved about the streak? Steve?
Well, I'll say this. He talked this week, Thursday, I think it was, said that he felt like he was almost there health-wise after coming back from the Giants and then the game against the Panthers. He looked pretty good out there, and when he had that big third-down catch late, we saw him hurdle a guy. I mean, he didn't look like a broken-down receiver. He caught 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
And he got 12 targets last week, and that streak means something to him. I got to think, honestly, that he might be a little annoyed about not getting more targets, especially as the offense struggled for such a good chunk there. They weren't exactly feeding him the ball.
And, Lee, I'm not going to get off this topic. I'm just not going to do it. And I don't care what Liam Cohn says at a podium, but they're not throwing any deep passes, Lee.
No.
They're not throwing any deep passes. And when the offense bogs down like it did, Lee, in the second and third mm-hmm. quarters, you got to get some juice on the field.
And I've been documenting Baker Mayfield's passing chart weekly until this week, or this past week, and that's because, for whatever reason, Next Gen Stats hasn't uploaded it. And rarely does Mayfield throw deep. I mean, he might have 3 or 4 passes past 20 yards. That's it. And that's been very consistent throughout the year. And I've written many times, that tells me it's a dink and dunk offense. But I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not saying you're whining, but I'm not going to kvetch about it because offense is working. Not to say it didn't so much.
We have to put this out there that for the second time in 3 weeks, and they also did it in the Giants game, the offense was tremendous in the first quarter. Tremendous. And it was great today. They kicked the Raiders' ass in the first quarter. It's good to see the Bucs getting off to good starts like that.
It's fantastic, but that's the craziness of this roller coaster ride. It's why Lee doesn't have faith yet. That's why a lot of fans are a little skeptical. More and more are moving back toward, hey, we got something going here.
And the Raider defense is not very good.
How do you go up 14-0 on the Raiders and then just, fall apart? I get the pass rush was there, but it wasn't from Crosby. So that's a little disturbing.
A little bit.
But again, at least they slammed the door, right? It didn't take an Anthony Nelson miracle. They slammed the door with touchdowns. And some big plays.
Didn't they get a takeaway one snap after Mayfield turned the ball over? One snap later. That's a big play.
When Tyke Smith's pick was in the red zone, that was a big, big deal, big play. Sage Lee, no edge rush again today. Okay, not a big surprise. No edge rush. Bucks really didn't have much of a pass rush. Vita Vea, not really there again today in the way you want him to be.
Can't see hunted a little.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
He also got away with a penalty.
So here we are. Jason Light has got a lot of rookies contributing. He's got a 7-6 record. He's going for his fourth straight division title. How do you assess Light after 13 games?
I think he had another very good draft class. Lee, what can you say? Free agency, they didn't do much.
They were worried about signing their own people, I think.
That's right. That was the focus. And mission accomplished in that regard. Another good draft class. I mean, you're not going to say Barton's a bad rookie. He's had a good rookie season. Might have hit the wall a little bit. We'll see if he bounces back.
I'm thinking he did, yeah.
Tyke Smith, excellent pick.
Bucky.
Do we have to say more about Bucky Irving when he's healthy? And McMillan jumped up today and contributed.
Finally. He's been pretty much a no-show.
What a great call that was by Mayfield on the full blitz, spotting McMillan out in the flat like that. That's a beautiful call against that blitz. Wide open, Lee. Nobody near him.
What's that word Lee has for Braswell? Chris Braswell?
Who?
A rumor? The ankle's my rumor.
He had four tackles today. He had four tackles.
Sage, I thought it was interesting. Bowles went out of his way at a news conference to say Jalen McMillan should have gone down, not ran in for the touchdown, should have taken a knee, and that would have been the end of the
game. That's awareness, situational
rookie.
Awareness.
I thought it was interesting that he slapped him publicly for that.
Was it up to me to ask about the punter?
Todd Bowles up there, Victory News Conference. Last question. Ira says, how about the punter?
How's your new punter? Yeah. Oh, my. He started laughing.
Bowles started laughing. The punter had a bad day. The net.
I think his net was 32.
Net punting average was 32, which is miserable.
Yeah.
Is punting the new kicking? What I mean by that is, how many years did it take Light to find a kicker?
Maybe.
So it's punting the new kicking.
They didn't use McLaughlin today, right, Dusty?
Just extra points, Sage. Just extra points. So
I like the defense today, Steve. I think it was a very good performance by the – now, granted, you're playing the Raiders, but they did a job on Bowers. Lee, they did. He wasn't a major factor.
Mike Meyer snuck up on him.
Yeah, say what you want about McConnell and this and that, but – 13 points is 13 points.
McConnell, I think he's been watching CNN too much.
O'Connell. Steve, 13, you know, one touchdown.
They had a good plan today. They stopped the run pretty well. Obviously not as well as they wanted to, but they stopped the run pretty well. And, you know, look, this is a second-rate Raiders offense. It averages, we talked about it, 18 points a game. And what did they put up, Ira?
13.
So, you know, job well done. A little bit messy, but it would have been a lot better, obviously, if Merriweather had squeezed that pick and there were some other moments. Sage, though, 7-6, I gotta say, look, we've talked about it so many times. Todd Bowles, hot seat, cold seat. I think he poured a bucket of ice water on his seat right now, Ira. Lee, what do you think about
that? Second straight year, Lee. I mean, 4-7 last year. They finished strong this year. 4-6. Run off 3 in a row after the bye. We'll see what happens, but this team, you know, it's a together team. It's a together team. They don't fold. Other teams could fold. They don't fold.
You know, four more games. So long as they don't collapse, it looks like Bowles is coming back. I mean, you've said this before, Ira. How do you get rid of a coach with a winning record? His name's Tony Dungy. That springs to mind. But still, how do you get rid of?
And now they got to go only 2-2 to have a winning record. 2-2 gets them a winning record. So
well, they fired John Gruden after back-to-back 9-7s. So.
That was a December collapse.
Exactly. So, right. So the Bucs closed with Carolina and then the Saints. If they lost one of those games to miss the playoffs, I think that would be a January collapse.
Yeah.
You know, so
that'd be a reassessment. Lee.
It's wacky. A good day for the Bucs, though, Ira, in this way. You know, if they end up, because we never know, which is why what makes this NFL reality show so much fun. Bottom line is today was a good day for the Bucs with the wild card, because the Cardinals lost, fell to 6-7. So the Bucs right now are one game behind the Commanders, and the Bucs hold the tiebreaker for that last wild card, and the Commanders have some tough games ahead. There's some hope there, too.
That's a wild scramble in the wild card. It's wild. The Rams are alive.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's right in the thick of things.
San Francisco, are they still alive?
They are.
Yeah, they go to 6-7 with the victory today.
Yeah, they're kicking Chicago's ass.
But the Bucs stack up pretty well. If there was like a four-way tie for 10-7, I was reading sort of a wild projection on that. It would look pretty good for them. But
Lee, can you imagine what's going on in Flowery Branch in this respect?
What's Flowery Branch?
Flowery Branch is the home of the Falcons, north of Atlanta, an hour north. Why they decided to build in the middle of nowhere, and it's literally the middle of nowhere.
Inexpensive.
Lee, the defense is horrible. And who's in charge of the defense? Raheem Morris.
Well,
a similar situation to what we've been talking about with Bowles with this defense when they were struggling. That don't look good on Ra's resume. Lee.
No, it doesn't, but you know they'll shut people up if they make the playoffs. I don't think Todd Bowles' defense is that bad. They have no pass rush, or edge rush, I should say.
And a lot of injuries.
Yeah, you can't blame that on a coach, you know. But I think Bucs' defense is better. I mean, it's to the point where I'm just numb about the edge rush.
Steve, the Chargers, they're not known for their offense. It's kind of an average offense.
I still say.
And they don't have Dobbins now.
Exactly. D.K. Dobbins, a couple weeks ago when he got hurt on Monday Night Football, anybody that watched that game, Chargers had the lead. Chargers look excellent. Dobbins gets hurt. That offense changed, man.
Now, they're playing the Chiefs tonight, you know, but their offense is kind of pedestrian.
Well, we're going to see what they look like again without J.K. Dobbins, see if they can adjust and all that, but you know, we'll talk about the Chargers later in the week, Ira. Levante David, the Jumbotron today, and we have to see what the whole day looked like. But at one point, they flashed up that the next-gen stats that, you know, just track with the satellites and stuff and the sensors. They tracked him as having the fastest sack in the league today from snap to get the quarterback. And
Who's that?
David. He had a sack today.
Well, yeah, he came on quick.
You know, so that quickness, that could be a little bit of a tell as to how he really is. And, I was surprised when I saw that.
He found a hole in that A-gap.
I'm just talking about the speed. The hell with the hole. The next gen is the next gen. I thought that was pretty cool.
But the pass protection, Lee, it's been a little spotty the last month.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a little. Now, they're opening great holes on the run game. There's no question about it. Week after week, this is going on.
So
no Irving today, basically. But I think they got to give Mayfield a little more time, a little better protection.
Okay, yeah. I agree with you. The wham blocks the Bucs are using are beautiful things. And I talked to Cody Mauch last week about wham blocks. He had a toothless grin of his. Well, he loved talking about it. He loves that.
Yeah.
Say, Javita Vea, two nondescript games in a row. Are you concerned at all? Because usually he doesn't put two clunkers together. And we know that they weren't happy with Vea in the last game. And here he comes out today, not much to offer.
I think he'll turn it up down the stretch.
All right.
I do. I'm not worried about it.
Now, I got to get to Lee's peace of mind.
It's on your mind. Yeah.
Does it do anything for you, Lee? Because I think Lee represents the non-believer fan, you know, in our group.
The skeptical,
which is fine. Yeah. This is not exactly a legendary Bucks team we're watching, evolving. Does it soothe you at all, Lee, that the Eagles at home needed a fourth quarter comeback to beat the Panthers today? Does that soothe you at all?
That's well put, Steve. Well put. In other words, the Panthers are playing competitive football.
Canales hasn't playing better football, but I don't know, man. I can't go there and say the Panthers are good yet.
Were there times in the middle of this game where you thought the Bucs were going to blow this thing?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave, you know, I put this out on Twitter. They're keeping this. They're keeping the Raiders in the game. It's like they're trying to find ways to lose. And good teams would have pounced on those opportunities. Raiders couldn't because they're not a good team.
Now, Steve, I made a point in the column that you read. I thought the fans were dead. Now, Steve, you might say, well, the Bucs weren't doing anything in the second and third quarters. I don't think that mattered. In other venues around the league, the fans, you know, would try to get the team a little motivated. I didn't see it today. Steve, am I off base there?
Lee, what'd you think?
I agree with Ira. I don't agree in the sense that, you know, the fans weren't any good. Other places, I think there's a lot of fans that may think like I do. They thought doomsday was about to happen, and Bucks weren't doing anything, and they're like, oh, no. You know, they lose this game.
They're hanging around.
And I just think that the fans were gloom and doom like me. Like, I can't believe what I'm watching here.
Was this a game? Is this a game they would have lost during the four-game losing streak? This kind of game they would have lost, you think?
No, I don't buy that line from Todd Bowles because they were playing better football teams. So that this is what happens when you play a crappy team, and you're not a crappy team. You find a way to squeak it out like this, but they slammed the door pretty well late. But I agree with you with the fans. It was pretty quiet. Yes, they got going with the one buck sack, Levante David, first quarter. They got fired up for that.
Rashad White's stiff arm, also
in the first half. And you had the only one throw, quick out to Bucky Irving, broke a couple of tackles. The guy's holding on for his jersey for dear life, 15 yards. The Bucky chants were out. But then everybody went quiet because the Bucks went quiet. And it didn't come back the way I felt it should have. A lot of empty seats here today, too, Ira.
You didn't see a lot of Raider fans, though, right?
Driving in, I saw not as many as other teams, but some. Only Raiders fans would dress in black and sit out in the sun in Florida. So they stand out. Anything else from this game?
I think the Bucks have done what they needed to do. Late now.
Win.
Here's one factor we haven't talked about, and it's worth mentioning. It's right there in front of us, and sometimes we don't see the big picture, Lee, but the schedule before the bye, in retrospect, it was a grueling schedule.
Yeah.
And maybe we didn't give that enough credence where they lost some tough games to some really good teams like Kansas City. The Niners are a pretty good team. I don't care what their record is. And, you know, the Bucks lost some heartbreakers. I'm not even counting Atlanta because I'm not sure Atlanta's a good team. But it was a tough schedule, Steve. And they're the only team that beat the Lions.
Well, it's frustrating.
There's a few things to say positive.
Yes and no. The Bucs, I think, easily could have won the Chiefs game. They chose not to. Yeah, it was Nick Saban that said this. I'm always quoting Saban, but he's always on TV and he always says smart things. Saban was talking about going for two, not going for two. And he said, I always believe late in the game, if I could win the game, you will win the game. Todd Bowles' two-pointer against the Bull, he chose not to, decided to, you know, go to overtime. And I think they came back to bite him. San Francisco, we still don't know why a healthy Bucky Irving was not on the field when they had the ball within the five-yard line. We still don't know that. They could have won that game. They did. They chose not to. So I see what you're saying, Ira, but still, there were two winnable games, one against a very good team, one against a team that's struggling, that the Bucks would be in high cotton, as they say right
if
now.
If they don't make the playoffs, Steve, the games they're going to look at is the two Atlanta games. That's what they're going to look at.
No doubt.
You know, one of them changes everything. And we know that, look, I don't think Atlanta's going to reel off four in a row to close their season. They'd be lucky to get one right now, but they probably will, as you said, facing the Raiders next week. But Monday Night Football, you know, that can change some things.
And
you know?
It's in L.A., you and know, it could, on Monday Night Football.
It could be Penix. Well, you never
it's
know.
It's not like
maybe
New Orleans.
Maybe Crosby goes crazy.
Well, Las
know.
Vegas, not L.A.
Oh, Vegas. Vegas.
Ira is a fantastic, clean writer. But he always wants to know when there's a typo, and you sent me an Oakland Raiders in there, Sage. For old time's sake.
I might have had Oakland a few times listed in there.
All right, last one.
I'm thinking of a Daryl LaMonica over there.
Daryl LaMonica, the Mad Bomber.
All right, last thing,
all right,
Steve.
Last thing, we want to thank, of course, Bill Curry Ford. Presents all of the Sage's work. Shop at BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Ira Curry. The Curry family, they're real people. They're real owners. They're there. They care about the Tampa community. And family-owned makes a difference. You don't want to be like, you know, Auto Nation or Car Gods or whatever. You want the family touch. And it's the same family situation at Florida's Elite Restoration, serving the entire Tampa Bay area across the state. You know what to do. Floridaseliterestoration.com. They're your first call. If you have flood damage, storm damage, mold, fire, whatever it is, call them first. All right, Ira, I got to ask you this question. A guy I don't think we talk about enough, and I think he could be an X factor. We're always looking for something here, and it's not Ryan Neal.
If you come up with Ooh. Payne Durham, I'm closing out the podcast.
No, I've given up on them throwing to Payne Durham.
Although he's blocking well.
He is blocking well. They keep saying he's a weapon, but they don't use him. 2-3 catches, it's weird. All right, Sterling Shepard now has 29 catches for a guy who started on the practice squad, and 10 in the last three games. And a lot of them big catches. You go back and look at that Chiefs game. Who's catching the ball in the rain? That's Sterling Shepard with those big catches. Made some big catches today. In the Carolina game, you remember when they threw, they tried to get five more yards before the tying field goal. Who'd they throw it to? Shepard. Before McLaughlin kicked the 50-something yarder. Today was his biggest output in yardage since opening day of the 2022 season. Now, two games later, he blew out his ACL and was never the same again and was on the street after the 2023 season. I'm starting to think this guy is finally getting healthy 2 years after an ACL. He's got a lot of experience. Mayfield is not throwing to anybody like he is to Shepard. This guy could be an X factor. What do you think?
I'll say this, Lee.
If he's getting healthy.
Another thing he brings to the table is emotion. He plays with a lot of emotion. Sometimes it's a negative. Sometimes.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of juice. He's very excitable. He wants to win. He's very involved. He's been a big help.
I thought you were going to say he brings a lot to the table, as in illegal motion and
understand that.
And illegal procedure.
But he's an emotional player.
Yeah. You got to learn how to check those emotions.
I think they'd be in trouble without him, Steve.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd be in trouble without
him. There's a huge drop off from Evans to Jalen McMillan.
Maybe this thing will get McMillan going.
You guys are talking about Vita Vea being invisible. Trey Palmer, he's a rumor.
No targets today. The guy caught 39 balls last year, and we hear how important chemistry is with receivers. All that chemistry built up is not being capitalized
chemistry on. Chemistry now is with Mayfield and Sterling Shepard.
You know, and Lee and I were being told in the offseason, hey, we want to get the ball in Palmer's hands and make some stuff happen. They're not doing it. Now, it's nice to have that guy buried on the bench from the sense of at least he's there to use him, and he's been in the playoffs, but it's odd.
We wouldn't be talking about Trey Palmer if Godwin was still on the field, and Palmer's not going to get it. You know, he's not going to get his targets, but he's a guy who could have stepped up and taken advantage of Godwin's
big
absence.
Time, big time.
Well, we'll see, Sage. Exciting times, ecstasy in the streets. Ira,
another podcast coming up.
7-6.
Week.
Ira told the world, double it up. Bucks win today. Falcons lose.
Who knows? I might come up with another prediction.
It came true. A double prediction. The rare double.
The rare double.